Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Welcome to today's show. It is Sunday, December 13th, which, by the way, sisters, is our brother Brendan's birthday. So I don't know if any of you remember to send a card.
I did.
But I will be texting him.
Nailed
you
it.
Did
it. Me too. Yeah. Me too. Got that card in the mail, Liz.
Wow. Darn. Okay. Well, I'm gonna text him a little bit as soon as we finish doing this, and that's just gonna have to suffice. So you heard two of my sisters on the line. Julie Dolan, you're in Dallas, Texas. How's everything there?
It's good, Liz. My birthday card to my brother Brendan looks suspiciously like a Hanukkah card, which I had also sent his sons some Hanukkah card, some greetings, and then his birthday card. It was just candles on it. So I don't know. But
doubling down.
So I hope he sees the distinction. Okay.
Okay. Well, you can check in with him on that. Leanne Dolan, you're in Pasadena, California. I don't know. Here in Santa Monica, it plunged into the 50s last night. So brr, is it that cold out there?
It is a little chilly. People so want it to be cold here. Yesterday, it was like 65 and people had on their puffer coats and their hats when they were holiday shopping. It's just so sad because it's been so hot here. Like, they're just desperate to dress in sweater weather, puffer coat weather.
Puffer coats and fingerless gloves are sort of the look here on the west side. Anyway, Sheila and Monica are not with us today, but hello if you're listening. We have a very full show, like a lot of holiday news, of course. Can I just say I'm very happy. Like the end of this week, my holiday vacation starts and it just cannot arrive soon enough. So I'm very happy to be taking the whole 2 weeks off over the holidays. So I'm excited about that. We have Holiday Pod. We have Leanne has some business news. Mm-hmm. I also have a Bitter Business Bureau.
Excellent.
And then there real estate news from around the Los Angeles area, which is more fun than you think. You know?
Oh, yeah. It's the best. It's the best.
So, Leanne, you and I had a little event this week at the Fox Commissary where we were posing with Oscars and Emmy Award statuettes.
Yes. And there was a giant Martian there, Julie. The Martian, like the suit from The Martian, that was blocking the Oscars. We would have gotten more photos with the Oscars, but we couldn't get The Martian out of it.
Darn for The Martian.
And you definitely weren't allowed to touch The Martian costume.
No.
So, you know, that was not an alternative because that would have been fun, putting on The Martian costume and getting some photos of that.
Or just putting your arm around him. Yeah.
But thank you to everyone who attended that event for the Alliance for Women in Media. We did make a long-lost connection with a long-lost family friend, right, Leanne?
We did. Our dad went to college with a guy named Dick Cusack. And we heard for years about, like, the famous trip to Florida that they took when they graduated from college, driving down in a specific car and from Holy Cross to Florida for their big week. And over the years, we got Christmas cards from the Cusack family. They lived in Chicago. We never met them, but it was at a time when not really that many people sent photo Christmas cards. It was a novelty, and there were five of them, so they were sort of a big family like us. And over the years, we got to know the Cusacks through their Christmas cards. And lo and behold, some of them went into acting. Maybe you've heard of John Cusack or Joan Cusack, but this was the family. But we knew them as the family who sent the freaky photo cards. Like, who
did
that?
Had Christmas card. They always had Christmas sweaters on, like that, and a lot of plaid pants. I recall.
So at this event, one of the women, a past president of the American Women in Media, is married to one of the Cusack boys, Bill Cusack. And so we finally met one of the Cusacks in person and were able to make the Holy Cross connection. It was really fun.
Yes, he posted it on his Facebook page, which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we finally made that connection.
Right. It was a good day. And earlier in the day, I had spoken to a group of women at the Peninsula Hotel in Beverly Hills for the LA Library Foundation. And you know who I signed a book for, sisters?
Who?
Speaking of you're the best, I signed a book for Judith Krantz.
Wow.
How cool is that? Isn't that cool?
Now, did you do this in your furry poncho, Leanne? Were you wearing that?
I was not. No, I was not wearing the furry poncho there. I thought, thank God, because again, it was 85 degrees. It was so hot for this holiday luncheon. I was wearing the black sweater, Julie, that I bought while I was in Dallas with the rose that my mom had given me for the Helen of Pasadena book tour. It was a huge hit, by the way, with all these women in their Chanels and Valentinos. Somehow they were fooled by my Black House, White House sweater and vintage rose. So anyway, it was really fun. But that was kind of cool to sign a book for Judith Krantz. You know what I wrote? I said, "You're the best." Really? She's
good, Leanne.
Yeah, good. Clever, right? Clever.
I'm glad she's getting up and going out. And she must be like 100 years old, right?
Not her face, Liz. Not her face.
She's got that fresh face.
Very fresh face. Very fresh.
Okay. Good. Good. It's the hands and the neck that give it away. There you go.
You know what? She looked great to me. She looked great.
All right. Well, hey, sisters, you know, this is the time for the holidays, and I want to present some market research to you on outdoor holiday decorations. Have you finished all your outdoor decorations, Leanne and Liz? Have you got your stuff up, your lights, you know, whatever you do? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's not too late, and you may want to make some adjustments based on this focus group work that I did on Friday night. And my focus group consisted of a 2-year-old, a 6-year-old, and an 8-year-old. Those would be 3 of my 4 grandchildren, Alice, Benjamin, and Peter, spent the night with Nana and Grandpa T. So it was very exciting.
Fun.
Woohoo! That was good times. But it was unseasonably warm here in Dallas. And so we decided that certainly we had finished dinner by 5:15. We had many hours before bedtime. We needed an evening activity. So we decided to go to the very fancy neighborhood in Dallas where they really know how to decorate. They know how to decorate Dallas style. I mean, this is big time holiday decorations. And in fact, this whole neighborhood is known for it, that they have sort of a cottage business that goes on where they have horse-drawn carriages that you can rent to ride around and look at the Christmas lights in this fancy neighborhood.
Oh, you did that?
Well, we didn't know. We did. I have done that before.
No, you stayed in the car.
No, you've got to book the horse-drawn carriages, Leanne, like months before.
Oh, okay.
So there was no, that was not an option.
Okay.
But Leanne sounded interested.
I know. That sounds fun.
It is very fun. Okay. I did it with our brother Jim and Mary and Megan and Catherine when they came to visit Dallas. Okay. We did that. We had the horse-drawn carriage all lined up for that. But this, because it was a mild night, we decided to park and walk through the fancy neighborhood. But I wanted to just give you some feedback on what my focus group, because really the lights are for the kids, aren't they? Isn't it all about the, you know, holiday magic, right?
Yeah.
And I just want to let you know what worked and what didn't work. Okay. So first of all, tiny white lights, you know how that's such a classic look. Okay. They had nothing.
Yeah,
they just don't like that. No.
Yeah.
The Christmas wreaths in the windows of every room upstairs and downstairs. No interest in that. Okay. No.
These are all the very tasteful choices that I can see, which not just turn kids on at all.
No, they do not. Candles in the window. No, boring. Okay. They didn't like that. Okay. The laser lights. Have you seen those? Those commercials for those laser lights where they're projecting lights onto your house. Like millions of little lights onto your house.
Oh wow.
That is big. That is big.
I have not seen those.
Oh, you have. Well, you have to get out and about, Liz. I mean, I am sure you and Ferris, if you walk around in your neighborhood, you're going to see some of these laser lights. They're the
get newest a horse-drawn carriage for the two.
Okay. Okay, the LED light balls that you hang from the tree.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah,
those
I like those.
Are great. Those
I like those.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Now, inflatable Frosty the Snowman. Meh. No, they're not. I was excited about that. I like a good inflatable, but no, they didn't want any of that.
My problem with the inflatables is that they deflate at night. You know, like when I get up in my neighborhood early in the morning and go for a walk with Ferris, there are just a lot of deflated Frosties on people's lawns because they don't keep them blowing all night. And it's just so sad. you know, at 6:30 in the morning to see them all laying on the grass like that.
Liz. Okay. But even like full blown, I was getting no reaction. Not even the 2-year-old. Santa, Frosty the Snowman, no good. What they did like was the muzak. Leanne, do you have any piped muzak like playing in your front yard?
No, I don't, but I know there are, I've seen that. I've been to houses where you can like tune your, you know, player to a certain radio station and it's all synced with the music. Yeah, that's pretty dramatic.
They enjoyed that. That really brought smiles to their tiny faces. So I want you to think about that. Okay, a giant nutcrackers by the front door. They're nothing. Yeah. I mean, I was pointing those out. No, they didn't like those. Figurines. They do like figurines in the lawn. So the mechanical reindeer.
Yes.
Those are good. Bobbing up and down. The nativity, that got mixed reviews. Yeah. I mean,
that's kind of low key, usually, the nativity scene.
Okay, but the
ones, unless you've got like the live animals, then it's
we didn't see those. Okay, but there was one house that it didn't have elves, but it had garden gnomes lined up with a sign, and the sign said, "Practice acts of kindness." Now, that was a group favorite. I think to have a message, a holiday message out on your front lawn, I think you can do it, Leanne.
I thought the holiday message was Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
No, this is
peace on earth or something. Yeah. Okay, fine.
Practice acts of kindness. They liked it. It was original, okay? And they remember, it was memorable, original and memorable. Right. If you're seeing a lot of holiday lights, you've really got to try to stand out, okay? The other thing is color. You have to go with the multicolored lights because that is really the only thing that's getting their attention. And if you can line up a cherry picker, because that's apparently what several people in the neighborhood where we went to have done, because they had lights strung up so high in these trees that you would have needed a cherry picker to get them up there. This was not a ladder job at all. This was, you know, you needed a hook and ladder to get this stuff done. Okay. So those are the things that I want you to keep in mind. And it's not too late. It's only mid-December. You can take up your holiday display. I think simply adding the muzak would be good. And if you got the white lights, go out right now. Home Depot.
Just swap those out for color.
Yes, that's what they need. So I think that was good. All right. And it was a good time, was had by all. They did enjoy the horse-drawn carriages. That, the 2-year-old.
Just seeing them.
Yes.
Because you didn't book them for that. Okay.
Because I didn't book them. It's like $35 a person on that.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
They're not worth it. Because you know the minute the 2-year-old got on, he would start to cry. He would hate it being on it.
I know. Yeah. It was much better that they could run up and down the sidewalks. Yeah. That was and get close to the garden gnomes with the, Okay. So now that we've talked about super elaborate holiday decorations, I wanted to bring up an issue that was raised on our Facebook group about trying to have a low-key Christmas. You know, that was the order from my son Nick for Thanksgiving dinner. He wanted a low-key Thanksgiving dinner. So the question is, if that's the kind of Christmas dinner that you're planning, how can you have a low-key Christmas dinner? Now, of course, Leanne, people referenced your mashed potato bar. Which is always successful, but I'm going to have toddlers, and I don't think martini glasses and toddlers mix. So that meal I can't do, you know, because I somehow, like, just having a bowl of mashed potatoes, that's a little too low key, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You really need the right vessel to make it. Someone else on the Facebook page suggested maybe a giant plate of nachos for
I like it. It's a festive color combination. You know, you have your red and your green in your salsa. I would go with that. That sounds fun.
I think that could be possible. I was thinking maybe like a Middle Eastern theme, you know, like, what are they eating in Bethlehem kind of thing? So you could have some hummus, some pita.
Some goat.
Well, like maybe mini meatballs, you know, like just, again, low key or just something different. Thinking out of the box. Got any other suggestions for the low key Christmas meal?
Well, it depends on whether we go to church at night or in the morning. But the lasagna, going the Italian way, is good because you can pre-make it. Our sister-in-law Susan does the stew in the slow cooker, That's so that they get back from church and the stew is ready. So there you go. I'm not sure it's about what you eat. I'm sure it's about how much you stress about it. Because I think there are certain people that could even make a plate of nachos a stressful thing. I reference our late mother who used to make us eat pizza with a knife and fork, you know, when my kids were 2 and 4. Like, it was a pizza dinner, but we were all sitting in the formal dining room trying to eat with a knife and fork. So, you know, I think
there's also the alternative to just go straight to dessert. Go straight to the Christmas cookies and fudge, you know?
And ice cream.
Yeah.
And just don't even have a main course.
Yeah, you know, just go for the total sweets.
Yeah.
Be one way to go.
I'm not going that way, Liz. That's well, anyway, I would just be open to any suggestions because I think I'm gonna try something new for the Christmas Eve meal. That's my assignment, and I it's not going to be a mashed potato bar or just Christmas cookies as Liz is suggesting.
Well, you know, the other day I was in the pool working out with my friend Sarah, who is a recipe developer, worked at Bon Appetit for 25 years, and now she's a consultant for restaurants. And we were discussing our Christmas Eve menu. While we're working out, we're just, all we do is talk about food. And she was trying to sell us on cioppino. As an easy alternative Christmas stew, you know, it's the seafood stew made with the marinara sauce. She said a lot of times seafood restaurants have, seafood places have great marinara you can just buy. She kept saying it over and over again, like, so easy, so easy, so easy. So I'm just throwing that out there for you, Julie. Cioppino.
But doesn't cioppino have like crab's legs
it does.
And shellfish? And I don't see that for the toddler group.
I know, but
that's
just
gonna be tough.
Yeah, in case.
That's a super messy meal, even for a grown up.
As soon as you said marinara sauce, I was like, I'm out.
All right.
Okay, but keep them coming. Okay. I mean, I think the nachos are neater than the, you know.
That's just popcorn then at that point. Just popcorn.
Popcorn. Okay. And then finally, you know, I have sort of a love-hate relationship with Facebook. I've been burned on Facebook because I believe everything I read on Facebook, and it really shocks me that some of that stuff is not true. But it is the season of giving, and I saw something on Facebook today. I don't know if it's real, but I'm just going to put it out there that it was the suggestion that as you're going, you know, as you're like, going through your house, cleaning out your closets, you have an old purse, you know, that a great thing to do is to fill that with snacks and sanitary items, hygiene products, and have it in your car or, you know, keep it with you. And the next time you see someone, you know, in need, like, you know, that is asking for money or something, you know, a homeless person, you can give that item. And I it seemed like a great thing, you know,
seem like a good idea.
I mean, and I just thought it was a lovely idea, you know, and something so easy to do and something that, you know, during the time of giving, we could do that. So I hope that's a real thing and I hope it would be well received.
You can make it a real thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
It doesn't.
No, I
it's
know.
Not it's not a social. It's not a satire, I don't think.
No,
so I think.
I know that. But I just, again, I, you know, I just.
You've been burned.
I've been burned. Okay.
Okay. Well, speaking of giving.
It is a nice idea, Julie. Nice idea.
Thank you.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already Framebridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit Framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's Framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
On the flip side of the seasonal spirit is a question that is in today's social cues column in the New York Times. You know, this is where people write in with these questions, and Philip Galanis, or however you pronounce that last name, usually writes thoughtful and funny answers. So, but this one really caught my eye because the first sentence of his answer is so classic. So here's the question. Like, how many times are people going to write in about this? My husband and I were childless for many years. During that time, we gave overly generous gifts to my brother-in-law's 3 children for the holidays. Now that we have a 5-year-old, I'm amazed at how little reciprocation there is. They spend about $35 per gift for our child, while we spend $50 to $100 on each of theirs. I don't want to buy gifts for them that I used to because my spending is never matched. How can I politely convey that they should be spending as much as we do?
Oh, wow.
Isn't it unbelievable that people even think that way?
Yeah.
So thank you, Philip, it's a lengthy answer, but the first sentence says, have you considered sending them an invoice? But really, how can you politely convey that they should be spent? You cannot. Yeah. I would know. You cannot. Because it's not even polite to think it. Never mind convey it. So come on, people. Spirit of giving. Stop keeping score is what I would say.
Yes. There you go, Liz. There you go. Stop keeping score. That's excellent. That's good. Plus $100 per child. That's too much.
Yeah. So,
not really. I mean, you can't knuckle under. You just have to set your budget, and that's kids don't. It doesn't matter. Yeah, there you go.
Spirit of giving. That's it.
Let's Spirit of giving.
Again, low-key Christmas, people. Okay.
Sister Satellite Sisters, for supporting the people who support us. We appreciate that, too. All right. Speaking of companies that we love, and really companies that we love. There was a good piece in the New York Times business section today about the companies that won't love you back. When you emotionally break up with a brand or a company, and it really hurts you deep, Liz, it hurts you deep. So, and they used the recent merger, the buyout of Marriott and Starwood, okay, mm-hmm. as the example that they used, that there are many Starwood, like people who love the Starwood brand, particularly the W hotels. They love everything that Starwood stands for, and they feel very close to Starwood. And now they're merging with Marriott, and apparently the Starwood lovers don't feel as close to Marriott as they do. They're angry. They're bitter. It's like they went and married somebody else they didn't love. And now what are you going to do when your best friend marries Marriott? So,
I can see how that would be. Yeah, because those two brands have very different feelings about them.
Right. That's exactly right, Liz. Starwood didn't really present as a large public corporation, even though it is, whereas Marriott is like the ultimate like giant hotel chain. And so Starwood, you know, brand lovers really felt like they had a special relationship. And so in the New York Times, they talked to a social psychologist, and she said there are two different kinds of broad categories in human relationships. One is exchange relationships, in which we trade for mutual benefits. Okay. And the other is communal relationships, which are based on mutual caring and support. Now, normally with a company, you have an exchange relationship. Mm-hmm. You know,
you're not involved emotionally.
No.
It's just like,
it's transactional.
Yes.
I want this. You pay me this. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But some people really have morphed over. They call it, you know, it's anthropomorphism. That's actually, a study now in business school. They've morphed over to really think of these brands as their friends. And so they feel like I love the brand and the brand loves me back. But the truth is the brand just wants to make money.
Right.
So, well, to be fair, sometimes they all want to make money, but sometimes they do it by loving you back. You know, that's their strategy to make money from you. I would think, especially for hotels, because you live there and it's a total experience. It's not like you're just buying something off a shelf. So I guess because I travel a lot for work, I also have strong feelings about hotel brands. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah. I would think it is travel in particular. Airlines, you feel the same way. You're literally turning your life over to them. And I think over the last decade or so, people have fallen out of love with their favorite airlines because air travel has become so terrible, you know.
Right. Or even products. Okay. Now, I have all Apple products, but I know Apple doesn't love me at all. Not one bit. I go into those Apple stores. It's no Chicos. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? I'm humiliated. Yeah. I'm belittled. And, you know.
But see, Julie, the thing about Apple is they never told you they loved you.
No, right. I know.
They're just, they have always been that way, and you bought into it. So that is the nature of your relationship with that guy.
It's an abusive relationship.
But Chico's, Julie, is a good company where you do feel when you walk in the store, they love me here. Oh, they love me. They are happy to see me.
They understand me. They're trying hard. You know, that's it. Yeah.
Well, partly because the women who work in the store look a lot more like you than, say, the geniuses at the Genius Bar in an Apple store. You know, you kind of see yourself in those Chico's ladies, and you just don't have that same sense of affiliation with
the
people.
Where are people like me at the Apple store? There aren't women like me behind the Genius Bar.
No. And yet you keep buying because they deliver on what their promise is, that the stuff is going to work really well.
Right. Right. Well, it's just a cautionary tale, Julie, not to fall in love. Don't expect too much. You know, it is like that elusive guy that you wanted to go out with in college who wouldn't give you the time of day. That's what Apple is. And just be wary when you turn over your business heart to somebody that you know, they could go ahead and marry Marriott and then you'd be out of luck.
It's sort of why I think I've been so conflicted lately about Amazon, because it's a company that really does what they say they're going to do. And as far as customers go,
yes.
And the service is insanely good. But then with all of the stories lately about how they treat their employees and what that corporate culture is like, I'm very conflicted about supporting a corporate culture I would not want to work in, but that corporate culture does support me as a customer. When, like, do you know where I live in Santa Monica? You can now get deliveries from Amazon within an hour.
Yeah, same here. Yep.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, an hour.
Yeah, they're driving. The trucks are driving around like all day long. Yeah.
Yeah, just loaded up with stuff. Erk, here we go. Erk, we got to go over here. So that's good.
Well, there's no excuse to get some more Christmas lights. That's all I'm saying.
So it's great if you're the customer, but it must be really stressful if you're the employee.
Right.
Okay. So companies who love us. Well,
yeah. Well, just be wary with your business heart. That's what I would say. You know, try not to cross the line.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then posts it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, Liz. Your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to oseamalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
Okay, well, on that note, I wanted to provide an installment of the Bitter Business Bureau, one of our favorite segments that from time to time we are inspired to speak out about some of the things we're reading going on in the business world. And this one really got my attention this week because there's been all of this news over the past several weeks about what's really going on at Yahoo. And how Marissa Mayer, the CEO, like what's going to go on with her? They were making all of these big decisions this week about, I don't know, some double switcheroo, spinoff, whatever. So there was a lot of speculation in the press this week about what would her payout be if they fired her.
Ugh.
Okay. See, I knew you would be disgusted. Just the
I'm bitter. I'm bitter and jealous. Yes, indeed. That's the heart of this segment. Yes.
Okay. Well, there's a silver lining to this one, but
okay.
The USA Today printed the headline that if they did split, her payout would be $157.9 million, Julie.
Okay.
That's what she's going to get for.
For not for running the company, for really not improving
the company
at all.
Yeah. Okay, that seems like a lot of money.
It's a lot
now,
of money.
For me, the bright side is that now that if women who fail at their jobs can get the same like outlandish, outsized, ridiculous payouts that men can, I think that's progress for us ladies.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that's actually, I think you have to look at the bright side.
Silver lining. Yep.
Like it's about time someone get, you know, spectacularly fired and spectacularly paid out on our side of the ledger. She is the fifth highest paid CEO in the US already. So good for her. Her compensation, let's see, $42.1 million in 2004. So, but it turns out the $157.9 million was overstating what she's actually, if they did fire her, what it would actually be. So I don't know if you feel better or worse, Julie, to know that if it happened, it would be somewhere between $36 million and $60 million, probably. Huh. So, you know, poor thing.
She can squeak by on that.
She's going to have to squeak by on $60 million.
She can buy more clothes for the twins. Okay. Can we just talk about it? I mean, I'm very happy she's a working mom. I'm very happy that she had children while she was at work. She is breaking, you know, she is a neutral model.
Right.
All of those things are great. But then when she announces she's only taking 2 weeks off for maternity leave, after having twins, it just makes all the other working moms in the world, I mean, feel really badly, right?
I don't know why she has to announce anything.
If that's your plan,
that's fine. But just then keep it to yourself.
Because people do not have a nursery built in at their office. And most people cannot afford the 24/7, you know, multiple nannies that you must have to have that kind of situation. You know,
that's
most people.
A quick physical bounce back, even if you had all the money.
You feel terrible in 2 weeks. Yeah. So, or, you know, most people. So I know, okay, I know. All right. She's very talented and good for her. And that's what she wants. I want her to do what she wants to do. But it makes everybody else feel terrible. Okay. Terrible.
Does she have to announce something like that because her job is an issue? Is this something?
I don't think she does. No.
Okay. I didn't know.
I'm sure people ask. I'm sure it's more a question of getting the relentless questioning about it. And so the company just says, here's what she's doing.
Yeah.
More than it is her just volunteering, like, hey, look at me. I'm only taking 2 weeks off. You know, didn't Mark Zuckerberg just announce he's taking 4 months?
Yeah. So, no, it's every day we get a picture of Mark Zuckerberg diapering that baby.
And he did nothing. He didn't have to do those things, right? He just stood there. Okay. So I don't think it helps.
Really, I don't think it's helpful either.
Either way, you know, the big payday for someone who fails, Well, I was about to say fail spectacularly, but maybe that's harsh, but she certainly didn't. She was brought in to turn the company around. That doesn't appear to be working. We wish for her the best. I mean, of course, we would rather see her succeed.
Right.
Yes. If she does not succeed, I want her to get as big a payout as all those other losers get. That's my policy.
Okay, Liz. Yeah. That's good.
All right. It's bitter, but I like it.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to segue into something that this is the I told you so department about iPhones. A big story in the New York Times today. And I'm sure we are not the least bit surprised that guess what? That when you are slouching over your tiny little screen on your iPhone, that not only is it bad for your posture, okay, it's also bad for your self-esteem. Did you know
this? How do you figure?
Well, this is the physically being hunched over, Liz, has a negative effect on your general well-being. So if you are constantly, as most people are these days, either sitting down, hunched over your tiny little screen, or walking around, hunched over, trying to read your messages, okay, that's not good for you, Liz. That slouching does a couple of things. First of all, it affects your memory, that you can't remember things because they've done all kinds of
I thought that was just me. I really thought that was just me.
No,
but I have found that to be the case, that if it's an electronic version of something is not as memorable for me as like writing it down or having some other form of making note of it.
Wow. Well, that you are not alone. So people do not remember things, and that they believe there is a linear relationship between the size of your device and the extent to which it affects you. Okay, that the smaller your device, like of your phone, that is what your body has to contract. You know, you are really hunched over to use it, and the more shrunken and inward is that your posture is, the more unhealthy that is for you, both physically and mentally.
Wow.
Okay. So they're suggesting that what you do is you have to, which is going to be impossible and ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Just imagine now with your phone that you strike a pose where you have good posture, stand up straight, remember that, and that don't slouch. And that you hold your phone out so that your posture is good. And by doing that, you're going to elevate your mood and it's going to improve your memory.
Okay. But you are going to look like a total dork.
But you're also not going to be able to see it. You know, that's after a certain age, you're not going to be able to see it.
So maybe you should just put it down and not use it for half an hour.
Yeah.
You know, there's that alternative too.
Yeah. But it's just not good for your emotional state to slouch around, okay? And I'm not surprised. So,
okay. Well, you always knew that. You've been warning us for ages about that. Moving on, I wanted to provide the latest on what I call Game of Thrones condo edition, and that is the drama at the building where I live. No.
What's going on there, Liz?
I should actually keep my voice down when I do this because people constantly complain about the noise around here, even though I never hear a thing. So maybe it's me. But so I've mentioned before that my building is just not a friendly place. And it bums me out because it's a friendly looking building.
Yeah.
There's no reason why people here could not be nice to each other. But for whatever reason, there's just a lot of a lot of anxiety in the air in this building, or just suspicion in the air in this building. And I'm not sure what it is. Do you remember at one point when we were at ABC Radio, we actually had like a Ghostbuster analyze my building? Do you remember that?
Oh, right.
Yes, I do. Yes.
And
some evil spirits going on.
Yes, we did not ever use it on the air because she did say, yes, it's true, your building is haunted. And we decided.
Forgotten that.
Remember?
Yeah, yes. It's all coming back to me now. Yep.
Yeah, she said, oh, yes, there was a young woman who lived there in the early 70s and she came to a terrible end and blah. Yeah. Anyway, well, that may or may not be true, but for whatever reason, people here just are not very nice to each other. And the latest installments in this. So first of all, I mentioned a couple of years ago that one of my downstairs neighbor feels very strongly about the hedge. and the hedge that goes the length of the building on one side. And there was disagreement on like hedge protocol. So one day she just went out and trimmed the hedge to her specified height only in front of her unit. So when you drive down that side of the street, it is like looking at a kid who's missing a front tooth. You know, that's what our hedge looks like. And it was growing back in. I thought there was some way we were going to get to one agreed upon hedge height. And no, 2 weeks ago, it was all cut back to the same thing. So we've now established once and for all that we're just going to live with this, that people get to cut the hedge to whatever height they want in front of their personal unit. So that just sort of gives you, even before you enter the building, it's sort of a signal that things are not well inside. Then the good news is the real estate market is hot again here on the west side of LA. But the bad news is, if you're in a condo building like mine, it means the flippers are back. So all of a sudden now, there are only 14 units in my building, but all of a sudden now units are starting to turn over because people who have been waiting to sell their unit since 2008 have now decided, I'm getting out of here. So the...
Because it's haunted there.
Because it's haunted. Well, I haven't told them that. I know that. But I purposely did not share that at the HOA meetings in the last couple of years. But the unit on the other side of the wall in the second bedroom where I am right now, that just flipped. So it got sold, and then a month later got sold again. And that guy is actually moving in today, whoever he is. But last week he was in there just kind of doing the kinds of things you would do before you moved into a building.
Yeah.
Like hanging pictures and things. You know, there was a little bit of banging. I mean, how are people supposed to move in to a new home
right.
without a little bit of hammering going on? And, but, you know, there is a faction in the building that feels like the keywords on the weekends in the building are what's called quiet enjoyment, that people are not supposed to make noise on the weekend, which I really have never understood, how that could possibly be true. So the guy next to me is hammering last weekend. So my downstairs neighbor calls me because she's obviously trying to wind me up about somebody hammering on the weekends, which, as I've established, I'm totally fine. When else? So this is what I said to her, like, when else are people supposed to do that? We're right. at work all day. Like, we just right. can't. You know, which is not true of her. So whatever hammering she wants to do, she can do Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. But the rest of us, not so much. So she was totally trying to wind me up. And I just want you to know, I did not take the bait. I just like,
because you know what? Hammering is a finite activity. Like,
yes.
It will stop. He's not gonna, it's not like, oh my gosh, he does a drum circle every Sunday, like my neighbor in Portland. Like,
yeah.
I, when he said, I have a drum circle, I was like, that sounds great. And then every Sunday for a year, he had a drum circle. And sometimes I would literally open my closet door thinking, is there someone in my closet drumming? What is that like? So, but hammering, what at least you could put up 10 photo, 10 pictures, and then it's done. It's an hour's worth of hammering.
Yeah. It's probably done for like the next 10 years.
Yeah.
It's right. not like you do it frequently.
Yeah.
You move in, you hang a bunch of stuff. And then you're not moving them around every weekend. Like every Saturday, let's rehang everything. So, yeah. So I didn't take the bait on that. But then there was another thing going on that I thought, oh, this is the one that's really going to get ugly. So down the hall, another flipper situation. It was so, I went to the open house just because, you know, it's nice to see what these places.
The nosy neighbor. You like real estate, Liz. Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I enjoy an open house on a Sunday afternoon.
And you're tied to this ship of fools that you live in too. That's so, right?
Well, this is the fallacy of the whole condo experience. I don't think I would ever do it again if I had a choice, because what you don't realize when you buy into a condo is that you are essentially making the biggest investment of your life with total strangers, right? So this is the biggest thing you're ever going to buy. And any idiot who also decides to move into your building can decide what the value of you, that investment is. So anyway, maybe idiot is too strong, but people have different points of view about maintaining the value of the building. So so I'm in this other unit, and it has these beautiful hardwood floors, which are illegal on the second floor of my building. There are only two stories. There are only two stories on my building. There's a first floor and a second floor. I'm on the second floor, but the HOA, the condo rules are that you cannot have hardwood floors on the second floor because it's too noisy for the people on the first floor. So I go into this unit that's for sale and I see that it's hardwood floors. And I'm like, okay, well, this is totally not allowed, but I resigned from the HOA board last year, so I'm not saying anything. But I was with a friend of mine, and we hear a potential buyer asking the real estate agent, like, oh, these floors are so nice. And he said, yeah, it's very special. This unit got grandfathered in, but otherwise they're not allowed in the building. And I wanted to say to him, okay, that is a total lie. Yes. Nothing got grandfathered in. No.
It grandfathered didn't. In. It's a 20-year-old building.
I know, Leanne. Exactly.
I mean, 30. I mean,
this is not... good. Okay.
So I'm saying to my friend, like, believe me, that did not get grandfathered in. The first thing this person is going to have to do is tear out whoever. The buyer is going to have to tear out the floors. And so then I hear him say to someone else that not only did it get grandfathered in, but it was approved by the downstairs neighbors, which, again, a total lie. And I said to my friend, the downstairs neighbors are renters. They don't get to... They do not get to approve what happens.
And they're too busy chopping up the hedge to worry about the wood floors.
Yeah, so I know this is going to be a drama, and I don't want anything to do with it. But then last week, maybe this is a turning point, but I don't know. Outside the front door of every unit in the building was a little box of chocolates and a note from the woman who just bought that unit. And she said, I'm very excited to be moving into your building. I know that there has been a history. I understand, or I have learned, that there has been a history of non-cooperation from the previous owner, and that I will need to change the flooring in the unit. I am happy to do that, and just wanted to let you know that I look forward to being a good neighbor.
Oh,
so. Wow. Pretty amazing, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yes, that's nice. But she'll be crushed with that.
Exactly, Julie. Exactly my reaction. I'm like, oh, save yourself, dear. You seem like a very nice person. maybe this is not the building for you. I was very tempted to say, no, you are too nice to live here. I'm sorry. Like, but she put herself out there.
No, that's so nice. Yeah. Liz. Yeah. That's very nice to communicate that to really try to address people's fears or concerns. That's nice.
Yes, I thought so. So she inspired me. So because today is move-in day for a new guy next door, I was inspired by her good neighborly behavior. And so I got him a little welcome gift and a note that I'm going to leave at his front door today.
All right, because Liz, there you go.
This is it. I am going to try to change the energy in the building, despite what that exorcist said or Ghostbuster or whatever. I believe we can do this if the people in the building just decide to be neighborly.
Tiny acts of kindness, Liz. Get yourself some gnomes and a little sign. Put it outside your door.
Okay, so that is my goal. In other Los Angeles real estate news, the hot property section of the Sunday paper is always fun to read. Lee, and I know that you're a regular reader of hot property.
Love it. Where are the celebrities moving? How are they selling? They're selling one house in the Hollywood Hills and they're moving out to Pacific Palisades. Love it.
Yeah. So it's just thinly veiled celebrity news, as Leanne said. It really has nothing to do with the real estate. It's just another reason to put boldface names in the paper. And it's always quite a range of people. So I particularly enjoyed this week's because, hang on, there was here's the range of people that, okay, Scott Disick, who you may know as Mr. Kourtney Kardashian.
Oh.
So he's selling his place. Eric Garcetti, our mayor, he's selling his place. Who do we have here? Scandal star Kerry Washington and her husband, retired NFL player. They're selling their place. Lauren Conrad of The Hills. And I'm giving you just highlights, but for those of you who are not readers of the Los Angeles Times, this is each person, each house gets about 5 paragraphs and photos.
Yeah.
So it's not just like little blurbs. These are major details about, you know, what the house looks like inside. So I'm going through this. I'm like, okay, the usual stars, sports stars, political stars. And then I turn over to the next page, because this goes on for multiple pages. And the home of the week just made me laugh out loud because it said cartoon creators one time abode. I'm thinking, oh, cartoon creators. So were they, you know, like someone from The Simpsons or someone from, you know, I'm thinking some. So, nope. The reason this house made the paper is because it was originally owned by the co-creator of Mr. Magoo. And yep, you can be the co-creator of Mr. Magoo. And in Los Angeles, that's good enough to get you and your house in the paper. It's a beautiful house.
Celebrity.
It's kind of a celebrity house too. It's the Richard Neutra house. And so built in 1949, going on the market for $2.5 million. But it wasn't even built by, it was once owned by a Mr. Magoo co-creator. So that could have been like for 6 months in the 50s, right?
So that's really a stretch. You're right. They must have been a little short on celebrity, real celebrities this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was a good house and they just needed to figure out a way, an excuse. You can't just put it in the paper because it's a good house. You have to
in the real estate section. Yeah, that's crazy.
You have to have the celebrity provenance. So Mr. Magoo making the paper. You don't see that very often. And there you have it. That's my real estate roundup.
Well, this week we're sort of winding down some book tour events. I mean, I'm winding them down. I don't know about anybody else. But just a reminder, on Thursday night, I'm going to be here in San Marino, California at the J. McLaughlin store, just sitting and signing books from 5 to 7, but donating a portion of the profits of the book back to a local charity organization that supports some great groups here. So come by, because that's where I got the fur poncho, J. McLaughlin. So even if you don't want the book, but you do want a fur poncho, come by. I'll be sitting and signing. And then I am working out the details for the LAX signing. It is not in front of security, so you have to be holding an international ticket, which seems extreme.
That's an expensive way to buy the book.
There are easier ways. So check the Facebook page. I'm trying to figure out something in Manhattan Beach that day, having a little trouble. So just trying to, for the people on the West Side that wanted to get some book signs, I know there are a bunch of you. The LAX signing is not going to be for you. Unless you're flying internationally on Friday, December 18th. So that's happening.
At noon.
And then Julie, Madam Secretary mid-season finale this weekend. So
I'm very excited, Leanne. I thought maybe we had missed it or it wasn't going to be back on until January.
Yeah.
I could not be more excited than, maybe a little more, but okay. I'm pretty excited about this tonight.
Yeah. That'll be great. And then I think next weekend will probably be our last show before the holidays. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what I think. We should figure that out.
Okay. We just made a
decision. But we do have some more You're the Best interviews posts.
Yes.
So those are coming.
Right.
We have plenty more of those.
Right. So there will be shows that may be new to you. So we will be doing that. But we are going to take a holiday break and then we'll be back, Julie, Downton Abbey, back on the air January 3rd. I don't know what – we're going to have to watch so much TV. Between Downton Abbey, Madam Secretary, did you see Outlander got nominated for a Golden Globe?
I did, Leanne.
I know.
I that's very exciting.
I mean, I know you may not be able to watch it again after the
post-traumatic. No, I can't. I don't want to see those scenes.
Okay.
So, yeah, I still.
Okay.
You can't go back? Interesting.
Liz, you never saw it.
Yeah.
Did you hear my review of it? Okay.
Yes, I did. I heard your review. So I understand how you feel.
All right. Well, then let's keep it positive. Madam Secretary, we'll be back this week with wrapping up that. Anything else? Anyone got anything else going on this week?
The only thing I would mention for after the new year is that kudos to any like DC, Northern Virginia, Maryland residents who are members of our Facebook group, that they've been lobbying for a Satellite Sisters meetup because they know I go back and forth to Washington, DC a lot. So much popular support on the Facebook group that we are going to do that, people. We are going to get that organized for the beginning of the new year. Just got to lock in a few details of my schedule, and then we'll figure out where we can all meet up. So thank you. It was a group, particularly of the next gen, Julie, who was posting and saying that they wanted to meet up. But then everyone in the region started volunteering that they turn up too. So it was by popular demand. We will get that sorted out for the beginning of the new year.
Okay. All right.
Sounds good.
Julie, what are you doing this week? Anything besides watching TV?
Well, you know, I'm watching TV, Leanne. I've got to do that, and I'm working on my low-key holiday, okay? I've got a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do to make this happen, okay?
Okay. All right. We're the Satellite Sisters. We'd like to again thank Casper for supporting the show. And don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.